This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, lots to get to today. Le Batard is off. Greg Cody will be with us for the second hour of the show. He will join us for the entire second hour of the show. What's he doing for the first hour?
Herald duties.
Oh, I see.
I mean, yes. Duo was amazing.
Was he?
I don't know. I know he wasn't bad.
I know he wasn't good. We will get to Tua and the Dolphins in just a second here. We had a very good, very sportsy, but a very good NFL conversation during the Big Suey today. So check it out. We bounced all over the place. That's what NFL fans do on a Monday, Mike. It's like you're talking about one game and someone blurts out another name, and then all of a sudden you're focused on that name and that game, and you just bounce around the NFL. And I feel like that's what we did this morning in the local hour. Very good as well. Every single Monday I come in here, I feel bad for college football. I do. Because you have a great college football Saturday, tons of storylines, and then the NFL happens. And then we forget about college football, and we only talk about the NFL really on Mondays. Not today. I will talk NFL, and I want to talk Tua, and I want to get Chris's reaction to Tua, because I think we learned a lot about the Dolphins as an organization yesterday. We learned nothing about their quarterback. But I want to start with Clemson and Trevor Lawrence. And if you missed it over the weekend, and I'm not certain if you're a sports fan how you would miss it, but Boston College had a big lead in their game against Clemson at Clemson. Trevor Lawrence did not play in that game. After the game, Dabo Swinney announces that Trevor Lawrence will not be available for the Notre Dame game, which is, I think, one of the two or three games of the year in college football. This is working out swimmingly for Clemson, because if they win the game, it only further enhances their resume as the best team in the country, that they're able to beat a team like Notre Dame, the fourth-ranked team in the country, without the Heisman frontrunner, without the best player in college football. And if they lose that game, and it's a close game, they could fall back on, even if it's not a close game, they could fall back on, well, Trevor Lawrence tested positive for COVID, and Clemson in that game did not have the best player on the field, did not have the best player in college football. Clemson can't lose, Mike, and that has to be frustrating to a lot of people. I'm not certain if they thought, well, I'm guessing they thought about it. I'm hopeful that the committee has thought about it. But it almost seems like there's nothing Clemson could do to not end up in the Final Four, even if they lose a couple of games without Trevor Lawrence.
A couple of games is going to be tough to overcome, but they can certainly overcome a loss to at number four Notre Dame with their backup quarterback. This is why you have the human element. The college football playoff's job is to get the four best teams in the nation in that playoff. But I'm going to disagree with you, because right now you said it stinks for college football that the NFL is around because we never talk about them.
Right.
Should be counting their lucky stars. This is what it takes for you to be leading the national show with a college football topic, because the most famous player in that sport, the number one overall pick, we all assume, Trevor Lawrence, is positive for COVID-19 and he's missing the game of the year. It takes our attention off of programs like Wisconsin. Right. Programs that sold us that these kids are safer here than they are out there.
Yep.
Wisconsin's a mighty big program.
Mm-hmm.
They might be playing in a New Year's Day bowl game. They had it lined up. They finally have an exciting quarterback who is positive for COVID-19, who's forced to be out 21 days at minimum. They have 22 positive cases. Their head coach has it.
Yep.
To get the Big Ten back, we had to convince a nation and presidents and administration that, you know, they're safer here right off the bat. The game canceled. No real room within the calendar to make up that game. It's going to be a mess for the college football playoff, but I don't want to take attention away and deflect from, this is a mess. This is an absolute mess for college football. So many programs have been undone by this virus.
Right.
We talk about the Tennessee Titans and their outbreak ad nauseum, right? They have like 12 to 15 positive cases. Wisconsin has 22.
Mm-hmm.
We'll lead with the one that matters. in Trevor Lawrence. So they should be happy that you have that distraction on Sundays to keep people from talking about it, because it's bad right now in college football.
But what do you guys, like, what, Mike, what do you think's going to happen? What do you guys think's going to happen if Clemson loses a very close game at Notre Dame? I think most people, the committee, most college football fans, will still view Clemson as the best football, college football team in the country. Maybe Ohio State, maybe Alabama, but it's, that doesn't seem fair. Like, for me, you have to operate under what this season is all about, and we headed into the season knowing that COVID-19 was going to be an issue, and it's an issue. And not just an issue, it's an issue with the game's best player, it's an issue with the game's best team. And I'm sorry, if they, it has to be treated like every other game. You can't factor in that Trevor Lawrence was out for a couple of weeks because of COVID. You just can't do it. Like, that, to me, that wouldn't be fair to the spirit of what this year is all about. Every team went into it knowing that this was a possibility, and it wouldn't be fair to the other teams who aren't losing games.
I can't wait for the first rankings to see exactly how they navigate it. I think the dust will settle towards the end of the year, and I think collectively we'll have a pretty good idea of who the four best teams are. But right now, I look at the polls, it's nonsensical.
Right.
It's nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense to have Wisconsin at 1-0 over several of the teams below it. So I'm hoping someone can make sense of it. It's a very difficult job.
I mean, it's not fair that Ohio State got to be like ranked like third and right away, having not played for a month. Like, you just, in this odd season, they're just going to have to assume like what they know about teams is true. Like, I know it doesn't make sense to you that Clemson gets this free pass, but we know Clemson is so dominant for years now. So they get that pass because of how dominant they've been.
It's just such a weird year where you have like a Coastal Carolina team at like 15.
BYU's going to have a good argument if they continue to win.
Let me tell you this. BYU could score with anyone. I will tell you that right now. I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you that they could score with it. It probably means nothing.
They can score with anybody.
Okay, well, that team could put up points. I don't know if they're good, but that team could put up some points. It's just one of those odd years where I'm not certain I wouldn't mind if the Final Four was a total mess and complete chaos. Meaning, if Coastal Carolina runs the table, Final Four. If Coastal Carolina runs the table and Clemson's sitting there with a tough loss at Notre Dame where they didn't have Trevor Lawrence, I want Coastal Carolina.
You're
there,
insane.
Man.
You're insane.
Why?
You're insane. Their job is to get the four best teams in the playoff.
Right.
And I think using that as a guiding light, you're going to hear that a lot during these shows that we put out and produce for the college football playoff.
Right.
You're going to hear that a lot, and that's going to be the rationale for having teams that have played six games in the discussion with teams that have played, you know, 10 games but have one loss.
Right.
I don't envy it.
Shouldn't Clemson, though? I mean, they should probably beat BC. I know BC's getting better, but even without Trevor Lawrence, they shouldn't be trailing by 17 points at any point in that game. They should be eking one out at the end of the game. Like, to me, that's an indictment on Clemson as a team. It really is. They should beat Boston College with their backup quarterback by more than what they did on Saturday, Mike. I've arrived at a point where I have no idea how good Clemson is. How about that? There, I said it.
Don Levitard.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Stugatz.
Scaramouche. Scaramouch. Will you do the Fandango?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Guest on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily, the Pittsburgh Steelers are arguably the best team in football, and the door might have finally closed on the Patriots dynasty. Bill Barnwell breaks down the NFL action. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll have weekend observations, funniest thing of the sports weekend. Greg Cody, again, will sit in the second hour of the show. Dan is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. We were talking to in the local hour, and Big Suey. The NFL was fun yesterday. The NFL has been fun the entire season. The quarterback play, I'm not certain we've ever seen more good to great quarterbacks at one time ever in the NFL. But let's go through Tua's day, because it was the big story of the day headed into the day. Tua getting his first start as Dolphins quarterback. And it's interesting because I was telling Chris this, who is, I think, amongst us, the biggest Dolphin fan, Chris and Tony. It stinks going into your guy's first start knowing the other two guys selected are already good. You know Joe Burrow is not good. I think Joe Burrow's great. And I think Justin Herbert might be the best quarterback in the NFL. Not named Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. And maybe Aaron Rodgers, although that's debatable. Maybe. So he's fourth. He's the fourth best quarterback in the NFL.
Doesn't sound as good.
No, but debatable. Aaron Rodgers sounds good, right? That's debatable. And we were all surprised that Aaron Rodgers was not able to finish that off, because when Aaron Rodgers went into that game, down six, no timeouts, basically length of the field, we all thought that the Packers were going to get that done, because he always gets that done. But, Chris, we learned a lot. So I'm interested here, because you went into it knowing Burrow's good, knowing Herbert's good, but we had no idea if Tua was going to be good. And I still feel like we have no idea if Tua is going to be good, but we do know this. The Dolphins are on the right path. Brian Flores is a good coach. Their GM is great at acquiring draft picks. They appear to be a very good, solid organization for the first time in 20 years, but the one question you wanted answered yesterday was not answered, Chris, and that's whether or not Tua is good, because you cannot base it on yesterday's performance. You have no earthly idea if he's any good.
Right, but he still could be great. And I learned a lot. I feel like I learned a lot about the defense yesterday. They turned Jared Goff into Nathan Peterman, okay? Right. I'm not going to take a negative away from yesterday's game. You're right. I learned nothing about Tua, but I didn't learn that he's terrible. So I still got Tua in the chamber. Right. I can still learn a lot going forward.
Yeah.
And I'm happy after yesterday. I'm not going to let you turn this into a negative on Tua just because the defense outshined him and he didn't have to do anything. I'm not going to let you do this, Stugatz.
Okay, I won't do it. Billy will. Bill, you were making faces as Chris was talking.
Well, no, in Chris's defense, he made a good point. He didn't learn that he's good, but he also didn't learn that he's bad. So I guess he has that working for him, right?
So he still has hope.
Of course, I have hope. Of course I have hope. And the defense, I mean, that was I was not on Red Zone during the 1 o'clock games. I watched every second of that Dolphins game. Right. That was a genuinely great performance from that defense. And it came out of nowhere. And I'm excited about the defense now. So now Tua, he could be a little game manager if we got this defense that can get pressure like they did yesterday.
Right. But you know, the defense is good. You know, the foundation is good. You know, the coaching staff is good. You know, you have a bunch of draft picks over the next couple of years. And by the way, this is not the Told You So show, but I told you so, because that report came out yesterday with Adam Schefter saying the reason the Dolphins are starting Tua right now is they want to see what they have in Tua, because they have the Texans pick. And if he's right, not good, perhaps, that was the insinuation, perhaps they would consider Trevor Lawrence. You guys owe me an apology. You left me out of the room, all of you.
I forget about that, though. Can we pump the brakes on Justin Herbert?
No.
Justin Herbert is like, I'm not going to fall for this just because he's had five. He's got a big arm, okay? But, you know, Mike Glennon had a big arm, too, okay? And what happened there?
He never got off to the start that Justin Herbert did.
All right, whatever, man.
That's what happened there.
Chris, he has six games, 15 touchdowns, five interceptions. They don't win because their defense stinks, but he's great.
Who's a big arm bust? I need a big arm bust that I can
Marcus
start comparing
Russell.
Justin. All right, Jamarcus Russell. See, I didn't fall for that, and I'm not falling for Justin Herbert.
Who's a big arm bust that got off to the start, though, that Justin Herbert?
I don't know. Tua's fine. Stop it. I hate everybody.
No, you don't know that he's fine, but to your point, and it was a good one, you also still don't know if he's great, so there's hope. But you don't know he's fine. I mean, you have no idea.
Right now, it's a great quarterback class, and that's what the book's still being out on Tua. It's a phenomenal quarterback class. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert appear to be good and appear to be helping their teams for the long term, because they're going to be there for a while.
Now, I asked Chris this question. You've had time to think about it. I want an honest answer here, okay? Please.
I want Tua over Herbert. If you ask me this question again, over Herbert.
This is the question I'm asking you. I'm not asking you that question. It's a different question, but it's kind of the same. The question is, you got to win yesterday at a much-needed victory, okay? Because the Dolphins are right in the thick of it in the AFC East. The Dolphins are a playoff team. The Dolphins are a good team. I'm not certain for the next 10 years take Mahomes out of the equation. The Dolphins aren't the team and the organization I want to be. Okay.
What? All right.
No, that's how. Listen, they have a good team. They have Tua. They have their own draft pick, and they have the Texans draft pick. Like, that's. And they have a great foundation. So I think the Dolphins' future is pretty bright.
If Tua is worthy of that draft pick, you guys are set up for years.
Yes.
Set up for years. All yes. you got to do is nail it, and you have confidence in this front office and this head coach right now, which is the headliner. Right. Tua got everybody excited, but I think really it's Brian Flores, who seems to be an amazing hire.
But Stugatz, by your logic, wouldn't you want to be the Chargers for the next 10 years? You just had them being like the next best thing behind Mahomes.
Yeah, but I like the Dolphins defense better. So if Tua
that Chargers defense has some players.
I mean, you see the Broncos game yesterday?
Defense is year over year.
Right.
You'd rather have the franchise quarterback. You have more faith in Justin Herbert being that all-pro franchise quarterback just because you've seen him out there. You didn't ask much of Tua. You didn't have to do anything.
Chris, I am saying that if Tua is not good over the next 9 games, you still have a pick that you can go up and get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. That's the team I'd like to be. Yes, I'd like to be the Dolphins. The question I have for you, though, is you had the game that you had yesterday. You won, but you have no idea if your quarterback's good. Would you have preferred the Dolphins lose a 31-30 thriller like Justin Herbert did, but you have no questions about your quarterback for the next 10 years? The question I have for you.
I have questions for Tua if he has that game yesterday, just like I have questions for Justin Herbert, even though he's had a good start. We don't know that these guys are good just based off one game. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. I want exactly what happened yesterday. My defense looked good. Tua still, you know, we're going to figure out what happens with him, but the defense looked great.
Chris, why are you lying? Why are you lying to the American people is what I want to know.
Yes!
if Tua had a game of 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and they lose by a miraculous field goal or something like that, you'd be here just shooting, like, you'd be a shooting star, okay? And now you're like, hey, he had 93 yards, the defense is really good. Why are you lying?
I didn't learn that Tua's bad. I have a good defense. That's what I think I learned. That's a good thing. I'm never going to leave that game being like, geez. My defense is like a bunch of monsters out there. And Tua, you know, it didn't have to do much. Like, I'm not going to take that as a negative. I'm not going to let you guys turn this in to this being a negative for the Dolphins.
But we're asking you, by the way, you asked what we're doing. We're raining on your parade. But you asked it's a very logical and serious question here, Chris. I don't know why we're taking it so seriously. Yesterday, if you could have had one question answered, the question you wanted answered is, you know, you have a quarterback for the next 10 years. You did not get that yesterday. You have no idea. No. Take that over a win yesterday, Chris, and you know it, and Tony's right, you're lying. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Chris lying?
I learned that Emmanuel Ogba's a stud. That's what I learned yesterday.
Don Levitard.
Nobody out there seemed to know what they were doing except for Nene.
How can that guy be 23 years old?
Right? I mean, not to mention that he was a pirate.
Yeah.
He's already got in his Wikipedia a past as a pirate. Like, that was a long time ago, the age of the pirate.
Stugatz.
Maybe he's a vampire.
Yeah, give it to yourself.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Starting Monday, November 9th, you could stream our show daily on ESPN Plus. Also with ESPN Plus, you could stream Greeny, the Max Kellerman Show, and Shanae and Golick. And you can also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, Sirius XM, and the ESPN app. We will get to a couple of stats of the day in just a second here. We're going to debut a new game at 11:15 with Greg Cody, Fly on the Wall. And I will have weekend observations coming up in about 10 minutes without Dan, which is going to be weird considering I talked to Dan the entire time. But first, we rudely interrupted Christine Lisi, a Bills fan with a ugly, disgusting, gross victory yesterday, but a win's a win. Christine, go ahead.
They're 6-2. It's all good. And finally, Robin Williams improvised so much during while filming Mrs. Doubtfire, rather. The director had the option of making a PG, PG-13, R, or NC-17 version of the movie. He chose the PG-13 version. How about that?
How about that? Do you feel good after an ugly win like that, Christine? Your Bills? Yeah. I guess you should, right?
6-2. Remember what Nick Foles, the eternal philosopher, said? He would rather win ugly than lose pretty.
Of course, yes.
It's all good.
How can we ever forget that Nick Foles said that? You're right. All right, so weekend observations coming up in about 10 minutes. And again, a very exciting new segment that we will call Fly on the Wall coming up at 11:15.
I wonder what that's about.
I think it's a good idea by Chris. You don't like the idea?
I have no idea what the concept could possibly be.
Okay. You're going to be a jerk, and now I have to explain it. I am left to explain it to the audience.
Fly on the wall? No idea.
Every Monday, what we're going to do, whether Dan likes it or not, and he's not going to like it, and that's what we do when he's not here, things that he doesn't like. We maintain that there are several conversations that you as a sports fan would like to be a fly on the wall for, but you can only choose one. And so at 11:15, we will go around the room, and we will choose which discussion that took place over the weekend that you would most want to be a fly on the wall for. How about that?
Ah, now I get it.
Okay, good. And we have weekend observations coming up in 10 minutes. Those are simply things I observed over the weekend, and then I give them out to you in the audience. But I direct them at Dan, and Dan's not here, so it's going to be a very tricky situation. I have a question for you guys quickly here before we get to weekend observations. I am a lover of dry cereal. There are certain cereals. No, I am. Chris, why are you laughing? Because no one has ever said that in the history of civilization that they are a lover of dry cereal. Because I am. I love dry cereal.
White guys. That's just a heat check.
I'm not even sure that applies, but I think it does.
I have no idea. I'm not. Why did you play that?
I don't know. It's a bit of a heat check, but okay. I think it applies.
I think Billy is a big lover of dry cereal as well. This is all I'm asking. I went into the weekend thinking the best cereal options without milk. I love cereal with milk, but the best option without milk, if you don't have milk, is Frosted Flakes. And I completely changed because over the weekend and this morning, I went dry cereal, Honey Nut Cheerios. Game changer. And so now I've replaced Frosted Flakes. If there is one cereal to have without milk, I maintain now that it is Honey Nut Cheerios. That is my go-to cereal now. In fact, I got a little bag right here. How about that? And I'm eating them as we do the segment because I'm not professional.
I agree with you. I think the top two for me, dry cereal, I'm either going Frosted Flakes or Fruit Loops is a strong. I know they all taste the same, but it's a strong dry cereal, I think. Do you guys have any thoughts on your favorite soggy cereal? I don't want to change the game. We can go around the room on favorite dry cereal, but I have a nominee for my favorite soggy cereal.
I like this guy.
What's your nominee?
I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch Soggy. I know it's decent when you get the crunch at the beginning, but you let that soften up, it's a delightful experience.
I'm going to go with Frosted Mini Wheats.
Billy, what's the problem?
I mean, it's called Cinnamon Toast Crunch, not Cinnamon Toast Soggy.
So what would you go with? I like Fruit Loop Soggy, to be honest with you.
I don't like soggy food in general. You know, it's a good dry cereal if you could get it the right way. You know those little boxes that they have of cereal, like if you go on like a cruise or like in a hotel, breakfast thing? If you can get Rice Krispies in that little box, it's a nice little snack that you can open the thing, just pour it straight into your mouth.
Right.
Because you can't pour milk into those little mini cereals.
Do they still do the thing? I know that those little cereal boxes, they were designed in a way that you could actually pour milk into them. You could open the face like a sandwich, cut a little hole in the packaging, and they designed it so you could actually pour milk. Now, I never saw anyone actually do this because I would think they'd be a serial killer, but it was designed with that in mind.
Pun intended.
It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. at time.
You're pouring milk into a cardboard box?
Yeah, they have the little perforations there that you could actually like slice it open and make a bowl out of the box.
I think, Mike, a minute ago, were you nominating Frosted Mini Wheats as a good soggy cereal? Because if you were, I'm right with you on that, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's better soggy because it's just, it hurts my mouth when it's not.
But, Chris, how do you feel about pouring milk into a cardboard box? I mean, that doesn't, no.
I think Mike is right that they're designed to be, like, that's possible, but I don't, like, I think Mike's right. I've never seen anybody actually do it.
All right.
Don Lebatard.
Yanni Adebabubu.
Stugats.
Giannis Adebabumbo.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. At Aaron Higby joins a majority of those responding to today's poll asking, is Chris lying, by tweeting, have not heard the show yet, but I have no doubts, just based on this poll, that he is absolutely lying. Hey, welcome to the club, Chris. Oh, God. I haven't heard a word you said, but you're lying. All right, let's quickly hear Mike up against the hard network out. How's he doing the weekend observations? I'm very nervous.
It is time for Stugats to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. Dan? Not here. 11 of 14, 160 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Combined with a season-saving win at Green Bay. And Dan, just like that, Kirk Cousins is back. Report, Dolphins starting Tua so they can see what they have in him because they have the Texans pick. Told you so. Dan, it's weird talking to Dan when he's not here. But Dan, you laughed me out of the room over a week ago when I said it, and I laughed yesterday when that report from Adam Schefter came out. You know what that means, Dan? It means I had the last laugh. How about that? And nothing you can say about it. I could watch the Steelers and Ravens play all day. The J in Justin Herbert stands for Jesus. It's official. DK Metcalf is my favorite player in the NFL. Halfway into the season, and I still have no idea what the bottom of Kevin Stefanski's face looks like. Coastal Carolina is ranked 15th in the coaches' poll. Weird year. Hashtag COVID-19. We're all in this together. Almost every week, DK Metcalf does something to remind you he's a better athlete than everyone on the planet. Sometimes he just stands there. Tua. So-so-a. In the least shocking news ever, Giancarlo Stanton opted into the remaining 7 years of a contract that pays him a measly $218 million. Don't look now, but Jose Mourinho has Spurs supporters believing in North London. What just happened there?
Jose
Mourinho, he's the Spurs' new head coach. The Pop retired. Dan Mullen, Javon Wims. People are losing their minds. Hashtag COVID-19. That Wims thing was crazy, no, Mike? The hell's he doing? Well, speaking of hell, I'm not there yet. Headline, Wisconsin football. COVID cases up to 22. The university will decide Tuesday if they could play Purdue November 7th, Wisconsin, 22 young men have COVID-19. There's absolutely nothing to decide. Game's canceled. LSU, one-year wonder. Rutgers, bad beat. On the list of things over the years that I thought were a lock to work, the one that hasn't worked that has surprised me the most is Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. Clemson was definitely not better without Trevor Lawrence until they were. How about that? Death, taxes, and a Michigan loss that will leave you scratching your head. Georgia, Kentucky, on behalf of everyone who loves a good old defensive battle, thank you. BYU can score with anyone. Kirk Cousins should be the name of a roller coaster. So should Baker Mayfield. Want to know what Tua time is? On a beautiful Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, my golf course, which is normally packed at that time, was empty. That's Tua time. Almost like Christmas Day, it was that empty. Except that day is Jua time. When did Cam Newton become Alex Smith? Browns, MASH unit. I thought Jay Sternberger was Jordy Nelson and got excited. It was weird. Jimmy G out. Tevin Coleman out. George Kittle out. Dan, you know what the 49ers are? They're a MASH unit, Dan. Augusta, you are so close, I can smell you. Biggest mystery in the NFL? The Raiders. Close second, the Falcons. A team that's not a mystery? The Jets. Eagles, wins a win. And congrats on that tie. It would appear that the Toffees and the Villains have fallen back to earth. Ben Roethlisberger, comeback player of the year and NFL MVP. Collision course. I take Justin Herbert over any quarterback, not named Mahomes or Wilson, and maybe Rodgers. Trevor Lawrence, stay at Clemson. I'll take Justin Fields. How about that? Underneath whatever mask Odell Beckham Jr. was wearing yesterday, there was an ear-to-ear grin. NFC East, the entire division, go to hell. Speaking of hell, Art Briles, Dan, those are the weekend observations.